Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Anish Gupta.
I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Srikar Rajendran.
So today we are here to talk about the New England Patriots, and it feels like we talk about them a lot on the show, but obviously we do know about the recent opt-outs. Obviously the deadline has now passed, and a lot of players had mixed feelings about it, you know, maybe push the deadline over, maybe it was too soon. I mean, there's a lot of speculation with that, but obviously one of the teams that was hit the most by this opt-out deadline was the New England Patriots. And basically the question for today, boys, is can they overcome their opt-outs and still make the playoffs or even win this division? So we do know the eight players that opted out for the New England Patriots. It was eight was by far the most out of any team in the NFL. Next was the Cleveland Browns with five. But, you know, when we look at the Browns and the Jets, yeah, they had some key players, but they weren't as important. I think I know the Jets had Mosley, but like the Browns mostly was backup offensive linemen. But for the Patriots, I mean, there were four key starters that I took note of, right? Obviously, I'll give you the eight. It was Brandon Bolden, Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, Donta Hightower, Matt Lacoste, Marquise Lee, and Najee Toron, I believe, and Danny Vital. So the four key starters that I at least took note of, and I'm sure you guys did too, obviously Donta Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, and Marquise Lee. I think those were the four that I really took note of. And if you guys kind of want to get started on, give a quick recap of basically how it went down for the Patriots and maybe quick reaction to these opt-outs.
Yeah. So, and the biggest, Jack, you want to go first?
No, you hit it.
All right. The biggest name among that list of eight Patriots players is without a doubt Hightower, who is hoping to enjoy another solid year in the middle of the Patriots defense this season. You know, he was slated to make, I think, $8 million in base salary in 2020. And his wife recently had their first child a week ago, you know, congrats to him, and cited that as the main reason that he was opting to not take the field for his ninth season in the NFL and with the Patriots. So the departure of all those players so far who are opting not to play this season, that's going to result in Bill Belichick and company. You know, they're going to try to quickly fill those holes, you know, on a defense that ranked near the top of the league a season ago. Like, let's not forget how good that defense was. And I think just overall, the absence of Hightower will be, that's going to be the most notable loss for the Patriots, especially after you lose Cal Van Noy and Jamie Collins during free agency. And this season was supposed to be Hightower's final year of his contract in New England. But I think the good news for the Patriots is that his contract will now carry over into 2021. So they can address the topic of potentially extending him for at least another year. So with about a dozen, I don't know how many in total, but a bunch of players around the NFL already deciding to opt out of the upcoming season with, you know, a lot of uncertainty still arising. The Patriots have been that team that has been the most impacted so far this offseason. And listen, you cannot blame the players for deciding not to play this season for health concerns. Mm-hmm. I will always respect that decision. And I think the latest departures for New England, that now creates a decent amount of uncertainty as to how its defense will look in 2020 and how they'll try to replace those players leading up to the start of the new year.
Yeah, so, I mean, we talk about the Patriots all the time and how Belichick seemingly always can get it done. You can't count them out. But the way they get it done is it's pretty simple. They do it through a good offensive line and just players on defense that can do their job. And I think it's important to note that they've lost those guys. Marcus Cannon, he's part of that good offensive line, and he's gone now, so they've got to find a way to replace him at tackle. And now they've got a lot of key defensive players like Patrick Chung, who's been doing it for years, Hightower. They all do their jobs. And now, look, I know Belichick's a genius and always seems to make it work, but he's got a lot more to try and make it work this year. Like, he's got to fill a lot more spots than normal. And while they were the most hit by opt-outs, they were also one of the most hit teams by free agency and losing players in general. So it really does not come at a good time for the New England Patriots. And I think that I was going to say this before, I thought they might struggle to make the playoffs. And I think that a lot of people are overlooking the losses they had because, you know, they're the Patriots and they always make it work. But these opt-outs make it a lot harder.
So I think kind of to add off of that, I mean, you guys know I'm a huge Cam Newton fan. I think I was really happy that he found a home with the Patriots. But I think you guys are right. I've always said this. I cannot go bet against Bill Belichick, and I can't bet against Tom Brady. Obviously, one of them is gone now from New England system. But, I mean, you look at this defense, it's still, in my opinion, the best secondary in the NFL. despite the loss of Patrick Chung. You have Jason McCourty, you have Jonathan Jones, really good corners on the outside. And I think Jonathan Jones plays above his height, 5'10", above his weight, 190. He's really good against the run for a corner. So that those two are really good on the outside. I think they're still more than serviceable. I think they're great. And then obviously we've talked about it, Jack, you mentioned it, JC Jackson, one of the most underrated slot corners. I think he was a great replacement for Logan Ryan. Really solid corner. I think he's only going to get better. And then, of course, Devin McCourty, an all-pro safety. And I think he has done so much for this team, obviously, with their three Super Bowl championships that he has been a key part of. And I think, yes, Patrick Chung is gone, but I think Adrian Phillips has the potential to at least do a little bit of what Patrick Chung did. I think Patrick Chung was basically, he could play the deep ball, and he played similar to how I was describing Jonathan Jones. He plays a bit above his height. So I think, can Adrian Phillips do it? Yes, because he was asked a lot with Los Angeles. He was asked to obviously be a return man. He made an all-pro selection as a return man. So he's done both on special teams and defense. I think give him a couple more starts, and I think he'll be just fine. Though I know Patrick Chung's talent is a bit more, I think Adrian Phillips has the potential to hit it. So I think that for their secondary, I think that's one part. And also, don't forget Kyle Duggar. I think I'm a huge fan of his game. I actually wanted to pick him in the third round, but the Pats took him pretty early. I was a bit surprised by that. I thought he would slip to the third round. But you know what? It's fine to reach for some guys that you really believe in, because if they do well for you, no one's going to call it a reach. And I think he played at a D2 school, but his frame, 6'2", I mean, the dude was just, I mean, he had some hits where it was like, okay, it was like Sean Taylor-esque. And I'm not going to compare him to Sean Taylor, obviously, rest his soul, but he had some hits where it was like, wow, okay, this dude is a monster. And obviously he was a great return man as well. So I think Kyle Duggar can also replace Patrick Chung in that regard. I think you should put him at strong safety rather than backing up Devin McCourty. That's one thing. And I think you guys both addressed Dont'a Hightower. I mean, he doesn't have, you know, these out of this world stats, like 5.5 sacks. I mean, like 80 tackles. He's that, but the thing that I know about Dont'a Hightower is he's the quarterback of that defense. He's been there for 8 years. He has seen, he's learned from guys like Jerod Mayo. He's helped Jamie Collins. I mean, he has been there through thick and thin. And I think that's what they lose. They lose their quarterback on defense. So essentially they've lost their two quote unquote leaders on offense and defense from last year.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest hit for them.
You guys have nailed it perfectly. I mean, can we rely on this defense to be as great as last year's unit? Because the 2019 Pats, they allowed the fewest points and yards per game in the NFL. And statistically, I'd say it was the best Pats defense of the Belichick era. And New England...
Oh, whoa, wait. I wouldn't... Say, I mean, of the decade, okay. But, I mean, you gotta remember the first three chips that they won. That defense was pretty legendary. I mean, you got guys like Ty Law, William McGinnis, Tony Brucci. I mean
statistically, yeah, though, it's... debatable.
Wouldn't say that, but for the decade, I'll give you that. Okay.
Sure. Okay. And New England is ranked top 10 in scoring defense in 8 consecutive seasons. But I mean, when you look back at last year, down the stretch, that D kind of came apart. You know, during the first 8 games of the season, the Patriots were giving up just 7.6 points and 234 yards per game. And they were just absolutely insane. But you know, you look at the second half of the year and it wasn't great. You know, over the final 9 games, you know, including the Tennessee game, the Patriots allowed 20.4 points and 312.7 yards per game. And you go 4-5 in the process. And when you think of the losses of guys like Collins, Van Noy, Danny Shelton, all the opt-outs, this could very well be a trouble spot for New England. And I mean, with Belichick in charge, it probably won't be, because I put all my faith in this guy, but I think it's just still worth noting. But Jack, I'm gonna let you speak.
Yeah, I think that, like, we all talk about the way Belichick is and how great he is, especially a genius scheme-wise and everything. But he's not a football player. He isn't on the field. And he's lost, I think, going into this season, the two players that were as close as he could be to being on the field. He lost his quarterback and he lost his middle linebacker. And I think that it's going to be really hard to replace both of those for this one season and teach new people how to be that. And I think that you said the defense could be a weak point, but I think the linebacking core in general, yes, they've got a great secondary, but the linebacking core in general could be, just for the season without Hightower, worse than the league.
Good point. I wouldn't say worse than the league, but yes, there's some concern, obviously. I mean, Bentley's okay. Like, I just don't, I mean, Simon, I think that's what his name is. I think he's okay. Josh Hyman, I believe. Like, those guys have filled their roles. They've done enough, is what you're saying. But yes, their secondary has been so good, it can overcome things like that.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to get in touch or talk about the defensive line. Like, where is it going? Like, Van Noy is gone. I don't like Bo Allen, the guy from Tampa Bay. I don't like him. He was a 7th-round pick. What has he done? Lawrence Guy, in his 8-year career, I think only has like 11.5 sacks to show for it. That's not that good. I think
Winovich will play some, but you're right. I mean, other than the secondary, this defense is not tremendously talented.
But that's the thing, though. I think they can they, like you said, Jack, can they fill the roles? Only time will tell, because I don't need, you know, Lawrence Guy to get me 10.5 sacks.
No.
I don't need that. Maybe without Van Noy, okay, someone's going to have to step up, but it doesn't have to be him. It's, you know, it's just, can this unit stop the team from going down the field? It doesn't have to pile up stats. It's just, you know, like, for example, I think that's why scoring defense, they've been consistent. Top, what, Shrieker, you said top 10 in the last 8 years.
Top 10 in the last 8 seasons.
Yep. And I'm not surprised by that. I mean, they've found ways to, one, keep the ball in the offense's hands, their offense's hands, obviously. And two, they found ways to at least step up in the red zone when it matters. I've seen that countless times with them. And, you know, kind of flipping it to the offense, right? Because I think this defense, I still trust their secondary. I think you guys can agree with me there.
Sure,
yes, their front seven is suspect. But I think if they can fill their roles enough and do the jobs needed on, you know, key third downs or key spots in the red zone, they will be fine. I think that's not something I need to worry about, because the division is wide open. It's been more wide open as it ever has been. And if I'm leaning on experience, this team still has it.
Yeah.
So let's flip it over to the offense.
Can I make one more comment on the defense?
Yeah, of course.
So I think that the Patriots have never had tons of guys that are super talented with pass rush moves are going to get you 10 plus sacks. But no matter what, they always get pressure somehow, whether it's
exactly punts, good point. Good point.
Bringing extra people and banking on those corners and safeties, they always get pressure. So while they might not have the most talent on the defensive line, they will get to the quarterback. And while it might not amount to sacks, it'll amount in bad throws, throwaways, and just pressure.
And accurate passes, yep. I think also another thing based off that, the reason why they're able to get pressure is because quarterbacks on other teams are not able to throw the ball as quickly as Tom Brady. I think this dude gets the ball out quick. I'm talking, you know, whether it be checkdowns, quick screens, wide receiver screens, I mean, throwing it back. Like, he knows where to find his receivers or running backs, for that matter. And now he has Cam Newton, right? So I'm flipping into the offense. Obviously, I think the offensive line, Jack, will still be fine. I was going to say Marcus Cannon is a close second to, you know, impact of loss, because he is a right tackle. Obviously, Cam Newton moves a lot, and I've seen him move to his right a lot more than I've seen him move to his left. And Marcus Cannon, while he did allow 6 sacks last year, he has a 68 PFF grade, only 3 penalties. So he's a very mature offensive lineman. He knows his role. Yes, he'll you know, make mistakes in the passing game, but, you know, he's a great run blocker and he's not careless. And that's what New England basically thrives on, lack of being careless. And that's, I think, a very underrated loss, Marcus Cannon over there. But again, Isaiah Wynn, solid left tackle. I think he's good. Joe Tooney, obviously a top 3 left guard, in my opinion. I think you guys can agree with that. David Andrews coming back from injury. He's finally healthy. I think he'll be great as a top. I think he's a top 10, top seven center. And Shaq Mason, a really good offensive guard who showed his strides in the Super Bowl that they won, Super Bowl 53. I thought he played really well that game, helping Michelle obviously get into seal that game. So the offensive line is still good. I think it's still solid. I think it still has the potential to be top 10. My only thing is this. Cam Newton, I think, you know, this episode was centered around, can Cam Newton and Belichick overcome these opt-outs? And one thing is this. Yes, he is a whole new weapon that Belichick and Josh McDaniels can basically throw at the NFL and, you know, maneuver new plays and stuff, but he's not going to be able to get the ball out as quick. Mm-hmm. So you lose. I think that's an underrated aspect that people aren't considering. And is he still mobile enough to find his way around the line of scrimmage and get the ball downfield? That, I think I'll leave it to you guys. What do you think about that question?
Yeah. So I think that the maneuvering part is interesting, because I'm not sure. I mean, I think right tackle, if you have a right-handed quarterback, is one of the most important spots on the line if you want to maneuver around. Because think about it, Aaron Rodgers, every time he goes to throw on the run, Brian Bulaga was there for him. And I think that's one of the...
Well, the thing is, I think with Rodgers, though, he would go more to the left because of Bakhtiari. And that's where I would see him go. But like,
right,
guys like Deshaun Watson...
Right-handed quarterbacks prefer to go to the right.
Yeah. Obviously.
So with Corey Cunningham, if you know who that is, right tackle.
No, I know.
A little bit more difficult for Newton. So I think that while he may be limited mobility wise himself, I think it's also the lack of tackle there at right tackle could be.
Shrikar?
I think, and I know that Cam has been injured in recent years, but I've always believed that the time off and the time he's had off is just ultimately going to do more good, because I think we all know that Cam still has a lot to offer when it comes to football. I think Cam is going to be really good, especially in a McDaniel system. I think it's going to work out, and he's still just 31. And maybe I'm getting too obsessed with his Instagram, because I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but the dude looks like he's in good football shape.
And, you know, I know.
I'd rather take a chance on a former MVP who's, you know, very physically gifted, one of the most physically gifted players I've ever seen, than roll with a fourth round pick with, I think it was like 3 or 4 pass attempts in his career, you know. But before the Newton signing, I was ready to make a case for Jarrett Stidham, because the Pats are going to be the Pats. So, I mean, I think the deal itself was just really good, and you get a team friendly deal. It's definitely affordable. It's a prove it year for Cam. In terms of maneuvering around the pocket, I think you hit it right on the nail. But I think injuries are definitely a concern, but I'm not overthinking it, because I still think the guy, as I said before, I think it's going to do more good than harm his time off.
So, but the thing is, I think, as much of a Cam Newton fan as I am, I think I've told you guys this earlier, I think he should sit a couple weeks. There's no preseason, right? So that I think, you know, Shrigar, you and I have been talking about it. The teams have been affected most by this no preseason. Patriots are definitely one of them, because they have to adapt to these whole, you know, this new system without their 8 players that they had going in. Obviously some key returners, Brandon Bolden being one of them, obviously a key receiver, Marquise Lee, who's shown some flashes in Jacksonville. I believe he was a first round pick as well. Yeah. Or an early round pick, I can't remember. But so that's one part, you know, no preseason. I think you should give the keys to a guy. I know he hasn't played as much, but he's understood the playbook more. And I mean, Cam said it himself, this is a very complicated playbook. So I think Stidham should maybe play the first 2 weeks. I mean, it's okay to take a couple losses. The Patriots never do well in September. I mean, they're always a 2-2 team in September, except last year. So I think Stidham should start the first 2 weeks. That's just my honest opinion. But I mean, another guy that I thought of was, I mean, let's go back to the receiving core. I think, you know, staying with the offense, Julian Edelman is a guy I think people, and, you know, I think he's like the Andre Iguodala of the NFL. I mean, he has a Super Bowl MVP, you know, he's a champion, he's a winner. But I mean, you know, people get a little bit too carried away with him. I think, you know, I heard conversations after he won his Super Bowl MVP that he could be in the Hall of Fame. Like, no, he's not impressive. He hasn't even made a Pro Bowl. But, you know, he's been a very good product of Tom Brady. I mean, obviously coming out a quarterback in college and switching to a wide receiver role, he's played great. And I mean, last year was, yes, he had the most yards in his career, but he also had the most drops in the entire NFL. And I think that's very concerning. But, you know, we look at this receiving core, it's Julian Edelman. I think Mohamed Sanu will bounce back. He had a very good first game in New England. I think he needs to be more consistent as a slot kind of receiver. But one guy I wanted to touch on is N'Keal Harry, their first round pick last year. So I believe he came out of Arizona State or Arizona, one of the two schools.
Arizona State.
So he 6'4 frame, 216. You know, caught 9 touchdowns his senior year. And, you know, I thought he would play a little bit as a tight end for them. But they played him more as a receiver. He had a good game. He had a couple highlights against the Chiefs, I remember, last year. So a really solid player. I think he has the potential, though, to develop into a go-to guy for Cam Newton, because Cam Newton likes his receivers tall. Kelvin Benjamin, tall receiver, he had a good run with him. Devin Funchess, another tall receiver, he had a good run with him. Greg Olsen, a tall guy, again, good run with him. So Cam Newton has found good strides with tall receivers. Like, for example, Steve Smith was 5'9". Yes, Cam Newton found a way to get him the ball, but not as much as I think he could have. Mm-hmm. I think he had more potential with the Ravens. I'm sorry, Shrikar?
Yeah, I think with Edelman, 100 receptions for 1,117 receiving yards. You know, you said this, but some might even say he's a Hall of Fame receiver, you know, with what he's done in the postseason. He's great, but he did have 71 more catches than the Pats' number 2 receiver last year, Philip Dorsett. And that was the second largest differential. I think first was Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr.
Yeah.
But the Saints have Alvin Kamara.
They can make
the Saints
work.
What were we saying?
I think they're kind of like the Saints in their receiving corps. They can make it work with anyone. I mean, you see, like,
I think it's a talent perspective, though. Like, I mean, Marcus Colson, I think, was a product of that. Lance Moore was a product of that. Willie Snead was a product. But, like, you know, I think guys like Michael Thomas, the reason why they're able to stretch the gap so much is because of their talent level. I think Julian Edelman is a good example, right? Wes Welker was another. But you saw with Randy Moss, the numbers were so big because of his talent level. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. But, I mean, kind of to switch it up, like, the tight end situation, too. I mean, that's where I was kind of heading with, like, do you think N'Keal Harry should potentially play tight end because Lacoste is gone? I thought they would potentially go for David Njoku. I thought they would maybe throw in a trade package, maybe a third-round pick for him.
They did draft Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, though. So,
yeah, I mean, I think they're very confident in their rookies.
True, I agree with that. I'm very skeptical. Like, I'm skeptical of their draft process, but again, it's Belichick. I think he's hit the nail on a lot of them. I like Josh Uche. I was talking with Jack about this before the episode. Linebacker out of Michigan, obviously. Don't like him that he's from Michigan, but he played well, and he was a good plug-in, like Jack said. I see a lot of Bruce Irvin in him. So I think, you know, with these rookies, obviously you two just highlighted it, do you guys think they can step up enough to where it fills the type of voids that have been left by these offenses?
Yeah, I think that they will play their roles. I don't think, you know, some rookies are expected to do everything. The Patriots don't expect their rookies or most of their players in general to do everything. They like having role players. I mean, we said Josh Uche is a quick twitch, you know, pass rush guy, could only maybe only play third downs. I think Asiasi is more of that quick tight end who's the more athletic kind. They're going to have guys to do certain jobs. And I think that's one of the reasons they succeed is because when you're coming into the system, unless you're a quarterback, obviously, you just have to do your job. And that makes it a lot easier if you only have to focus on one or two things.
I mean, it's always by a committee thing. Like, I mean, running back situation, they've found a way to get all three pretty much equally involved. Like Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkett, I've seen all three go off in their own respective ways.
I'd say Sony Michel kind of disappointed, though.
Last year?
They also, I feel like they ran well. I think they shifted their focus a little bit away from Michelle.
That's why James White, I thought, had a few of those highlight games, just because I think they wanted Tom Brady to throw it more quick, considering his age. And I think, you know, that's why in Tampa Bay, I'm kind of a bit, my one concern is, can Tom Brady last in the pocket long enough to get the ball down the field to guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? But, you know, whereas here, it would just be quick check downs to Rex Burkhead, James White. I mean, a quick wide receiver screen to Julian Edelman. He can take it 11 yards. Or, you know, a quick slant to Mohamed Sanu for an 8-yard gain. Like, that's what I would usually see.
Brady threw the most passes out of everyone in the NFL last year.
I'm sorry?
Brady threw the most passes out of
everyone. I thought it was Jared Goff.
Jared Goff threw 626 and Brady threw 650.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean,
it's an interesting factoid.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I think that – I also think that, you know, the tight end, it is important. It was important for Brady. I'm not exactly sure how important it will be for Newton. I think that they may change their scheme a little bit. It doesn't seem like something the Patriots would like to do, but they may change
– I disagree with that, though, because I think Cam Newton has always had Greg Olsen as a security blanket. I think he's going to need a big guy to help him out. And I think N'Keal Harry has to be that. And I think if you guys were saying stay at what receiver, I'm okay with that. I need to see him play more of that big receiver role. Do you know what I mean? Like, and also, you know, the Patriots were a type of team, again, I was saying, they would take up all three downs to get the first. They would go, you know, first down, run it for four. Second down, you know, maybe a quick wide receiver screen for three. And then on third and one, they'd convert. Can I get that with Cam Newton? Can I get a Cam Newton who's disciplined enough to lead these 12 to 15 play drives? I think that's a very underrated aspect that people aren't also considering with the New England Patriots. It's how they execute things. It's not just the wins. I think this is the first time I'll say that. It's for them, it's more than that. It's how they execute, how their players play their roles. And I think now, you know, I think they're, I mean, I've said this again with every other team that we talked about, counterparts have gotten better in the AFC. You know, unfortunately with the Patriots, I can't put them in that tier one anymore. I think the Chiefs and the Ravens have established themselves there. I can't even put them in the tier two. I've got them in the tier three with, you know, eight other teams fighting for two playoff spots. Three, five, six, and seven. Those are the three seeds for around 7 to 8 teams, right? I think I mentioned it, the Browns, the Chargers, the Broncos, Colts, the Steelers, Texans. Colts, Texans, right? So yeah, that's their tier. And I think you guys have also agreed with me on that. But, you know, can Cam Newton take them to new heights? I think it's really tough, but their schedule is a bit concerning to me. I mean, they've got games where it's like, okay, you know, I mean, they still have to play the Chiefs because they won the division last year. just those type of things. I believe they still have to play the Ravens also. I mean, there are some games where it's
– they've got a rough stretch too. They have an early couple games that could be a little bit easier. Maybe that's when you play Stidham, get Newton ready. But, I mean
– exactly.
We're at Kansas City. Then you play Denver at home. You play Niners at home. And then you go to Buffalo. Like
Buffalo, that's a brutal stretch.
All four of those games.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC West, you just mentioned it. That those are four games where it's like, okay, all four can go either way, really. Except the Rams, I think they beat them. But, I mean, if you guys kind of want to switch up here, maybe on the outlook of this Patriots team, right?
Sure.
They've looked, you know, they've always been that team where it's like, how can they not make the playoffs?
Yep.
This is really the first year I've ever had my doubts. And I'm so, you know, up and down with this, because when Cam Newton signed, I was like, okay, this is 10-6. But opt-outs happen, you know, a bit of dysfunction going on there, just not with the team itself, but, you know, with the players. You know, how is this team going to be together? It's not a chemistry issue. It's just, how is this team going to gel with the pass rush? I really don't have anything there. Where is my pass rush going to come from? I mean, you know, Jack, I know we've said it, but I need to see it first to believe it. And yep. I think with this team, you can obviously hope a little bit more than with other teams. So do you guys really think that this Patriots team can make the playoffs? I think that's the big question here.
So can we give like a record prediction right now?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? That. Go for it. Tell me right now, would this Patriots team make a wild card, win the division? Where do you see it?
So I'll say 9-7. Wow. I think obviously you lose Tom Brady. That's going to haunt New England, but you know, because you're losing more games than you usually win in the past. But these projections could change depending on Cam Newton. Can you get solid quarterback play from him? Can he stay healthy? But, you know, on paper, the Pats no longer have the most talented roster in their own division, at least in my opinion. I think that belongs to the Buffalo Bills.
I don't think they had it last year either, though. I think – or it's close, but I don't know. I think it's just what they've done with their team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, keep going.
I think the Bills do end up winning the division. But I think 9-7, it should be good enough to factor into the wild card picture, especially since, you know, with the new format and the NFL's adding an extra playoff team. But I mean, it's going to come down to tiebreakers. I think Bill Belichick is more than up to the challenge of trying to win without Brady. And Pats fans can, I know a lot of Pats fans are going to put this down in our comments, but they won 11-5 when Brady missed the 2008 season with a knee injury. And it's important to note, this is kind of countering it, that Matt Castle was working with the core of that 2007 Pats team that nearly completed that undefeated season. So I think the Pats roster is still very flawed and you're lacking talent at skill positions, but Brady was kind of able to mask a lot of those weaknesses. But I mean, with his departure, New England is more average. I wouldn't say they're worse, but they're more average than they've been for a long time. So I think 9-7 is pretty fair. But as I said before, it all depends on Cam Newton. And also with all the opt-outs, it's just, who knows?
Yeah, I think, can they make the playoffs? Yes, obviously, you know, I think Patriots will always have a possibility to make the playoffs. I'm going to say no, though. I'm going to say 7-9, the opposite of Shrikar's record. I think that with a rough schedule, I think that, I mean, that four game stretch is brutal. If they lose 3 of 4 or 4 of 4, that's a lot of lost momentum. And then they've got games where they get knocked down, they possibly by Baltimore or by the Cardinals or the Texans. So I think maybe they put it all together, but also I think that there's just a lot going on. Buffalo's gotten better and there's a lot of other AFC teams getting better. I think 7-9, and it's still a possibility that they can get into the playoffs in a 1 or 2 game flip, but I think 7-9 is where I'm going to stay at right now.
So obviously I think you guys have made both great points. And obviously one has a winning record, one has a losing record. Funny because I'm tempted to go right in the middle. And you know what? I had them 10-6 originally. I think I got to bump it down to 8-8. And here's why. Like, I think that's still going to contend for that seventh spot. I think maybe they'll be eighth. Maybe they hit seventh and get a bit lucky. Who knows? But you know, it's just so hard right now. It's 2020. I mean, everything's been wrong with 2020. Yeah. You know what? The things that have been normal, like the Patriots winning everything, might not be so normal this year. And I think that's, you know, one thing to look at, especially just a lot going on with this team, a lot going on with the season. I think they'll lose some games that they should win. I think I can see the Dolphins potentially upsetting them more than once. And I know you guys will be mad at me for that, but I'm a huge believer in them. I think, you know, they will lose some games that they should have won, but they'll also win some games that they should have lost. I think, you know, their home field advantage, despite not having as many fans or no fans, Gillette is still a hard place to play at. I think they'll still have that home field advantage in some respect. So I see an 8-8 in their future. You know, I did a playoff predictor simulation just recently. I had them going 7-9 like Jack, but I think I switched it up. I had them beating Miami once. I thought they would lose twice, but then I was like, okay, no, I don't think so. So I think 8-8 is where they go. And you know what? For a Patriots team that lost 8 key players, 4 of, you know, very important starters, I think 8-8 is very solid. And you know what? I think Cam Newton bounces back. Is he the bridge quarterback? Really, I hope not. I think he extends his stay in New England for maybe another year. Because I don't think this dynasty is over, though. And you know what? I wouldn't say it's completely, you know, over to where it's rebuilding. But I wouldn't say, you know, they'll win another 3 championships. I think there's, you know, what we've seen these last 20 years is something I think we'll never see for a very, very long time. But can they do enough to get back there? Most definitely, because they have guys that I would never bet against. And to kind of wrap this up, you know, the Patriots, obviously what we've talked about, they are a very interesting, unpredictable team, but there are guys where I can't bet against, you know, Bill Belichick obviously being at the top of the list. Jack, I think you've alluded to that too. And you know what? Let's see what Cam Newton does. Let's see how this Patriots team does compared to the AFC counterparts, compared to the whole NFL in general. I think we're going to wrap this up here. Please check out our socials. Please check out our Instagram down below. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And once again, thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time.
Let us know what you think the Patriots will do this season.